Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I am doing great. I am JD, which stands for Justin Destruction, which is my alternate Twitter name in an alternate universe. That's a cool one, right?
That's not bad. That's almost as good as E.T., the extraterrestrial. And that's what we're talking about today on the teaser trailer episode, the 1982 family adventure film. Man, I'm looking forward to this. I think this might be a top 10 movie for me. I'm going to throw that out there. That's why I wanted to make it episode 60. I think every 10, we got to have like a favorite movie, right?
Well, I'm looking forward to the ninth movie after this one. But yeah, every 10 is kind of a tentpole movie.
69. Should we just call it Billy Madison now?
Yeah, I mean, we've done Happy Gilmore, so we might as well bend over and do Billy.
Okay, I like it. Well, I don't like it, but I do. But I don't, though. So, yeah, we'll come back to E.T. in a minute. I want to take a second to thank our sponsor. I'm spitting all over the place from eating Everlasting Gobstoppers, but that's not going to stop me. Thank God I have that screen on my microphone. But yeah, I want to take a second to thank our sponsor, Bunny17 Media, who helps bring you this podcast completely free. Go over to their site, Bunny17 Media. Use promo code BACKINTIME at checkout. Save 15%. Also, while you're checking out things, go ahead and look at our Apple Podcasts, Google Play, YouTube page. Go ahead and click that subscribe button. And that's the best way for you to help us continue to grow every single week. JD, first memories of E.T. What do you got for me?
So I'm going to be a little bit atypical to Kyle, who's going to put this in this top 10 movies and say, I think I've only seen E.T. one time in my life. Wow. And I remember very specifically sitting down at my grandfather's house. We had it on VHS. We were in his living room. We popped it in. I want to say the whole family was there. So it was me and my grandpa. And cheap, sad laughter.
Hey, how old do you think you were?
What year did this come out?
82.
I want to say I was 4 or 5 years old.
Okay. So you probably saw it around 1990. So good. Good.
Yeah. Now, and I remember loving it. And I remember being adoring it and crying during the ending.
So what do you think has kept you from not wanting to go relive this movie time and time again like I have? Do you feel like it's too much of a kid's movie?
I don't know, but that's why I'm so excited to watch it now. Okay. As a grown-up, an adult, being mature and, you know, driving a car places and owning a suit and stuff like that. It's like, what is E.T. mean to me now that I worry about things like, what is my suit jacket size? 42R.
Okay. Double-breasted? Isn't that a coat term?
You son of a bitch.
There you go.
You probably don't even know what a half Windsor is.
No, I don't. Is that clip-on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Clip-on from Kmart.
Yeah, and, man, I don't know when I saw this movie first, but I do have some vivid memories of an older brother, older sister, who both love this movie. We even have some family photos of them at Christmas time getting like the E.T. stuffed animal, the E.T. toys, you know, all that crap that they had out. So this was a movie that I think was introduced to me by them that I fell in love with as a young kid. Probably didn't watch it for about 20 years. went back about 10 years or so ago and rewatched it again. I just think, and we'll talk about this on the full review, the last 20 minutes of this movie might be the best in the history of cinema. Throwing it out there. That's a pretty bold statement.
I have no point of reference because I don't remember what the last 20 minutes are, but you know, audience, new and old, this is why we do this podcast, to take a look and examine movies that we've seen when we were young and want to see how they hold up as we're older. So let's really test out Kyle's hypothesis there.
Okay, we will. Now, one of the things that always stood out to me about this movie, because I can't go to a store without thinking about E.T., Reese Pieces. Are you a fan of Reese Pieces?
I am a fan. Peanut butter is my drug of choice.
Okay.
So anything Reese's puts out is kind of my jam. And Reese's Pieces, or comically called Reese's Feces, if you wish. I remember watching this movie and seeing that scene and thinking, damn, I want some of those.
I had to bring up the candy because I've been eating Everlasting Gobstoppers before we got on the line and started recording. And they're still stuck in my teeth. Yeah, if you're going to chew candy and stick to your teeth, you got to have a toothpick, and I don't have one. I wish I was Scott Hall right now. Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
Pick it right out with my own toothpick, bro.
Machismo.
Let's go ahead and fire up the trailer. If you're by a computer, you have access to watch it. Go on the YouTube, type in E.T., the extraterrestrial original movie trailer. It's uploaded by 1980s. You'll be looking for the trailer titled E.T. the Extraterrestrial Original Trailer 1982. And it has 915,000 views on it. I'll give a 3-2-1 click countdown. And we can watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
I've got Reese's Pieces in my ears, in my nose, and in my... Yep, ready.
3-2-1 click.
In 1975, he directed Jaws. In 1978, he directed Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In 1981, he directed Raiders of the Lost Ark. And now, Steven Spielberg brings us E.T., the Extraterrestrial. We will witness the arrival, the search, the desertion, the fear, the discovery, the friendship.
I'm keeping you.
The secret. The love. The warning. The signal. The mystery. The danger. The intrusion. The wonderment. The enchantment. The hope. The connection has been made. Universal Pictures presents Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
JD, start us off. What'd you think of the trailer?
Blah.
Really?
Really to you?
Oh, wow. They're definitely heavy on the Spielberg, but I thought once it actually got into it, it was pretty cool.
I mean, after they jacked Spielberg off for the first 90 seconds, which granted he's amazing and he does no wrong. Even Hook is fantastic.
Future gang, episode.
Gang-a-bang. Well, how does it go?
Welcome back, Jack.
Hello.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm watching these clips and I'm listening to them use words like enchantment and wonder and closeness and connection. And I'm trying to watch this as if I've never seen E.T. or have no idea what E.T. is about, and I watch this trailer leaving going, I still have no idea. Like, what is going on? Some alien comes to Earth and is in trouble, but also humans are in the movie, and I don't know. I just feel like this version of the trailer at least doesn't do the movie justice.
Yeah, and you gotta kind of take it for what it's worth. I mean, it's 1982. The technology isn't quite there, I think, to make a really good trailer with this type of special effects and stuff that they have. I think they're way too heavy on the Spielberg. They're definitely using him to sell tickets, like, to no end. But that John Williams score in the background, man, that immediately, like, captures my imagination as soon as that score starts playing. So that's the one thing that hooked me in. The other stuff I could have done without. The voiceover guy was, everything was like one word. Wonderment. Spaceship. Signal. Spielberg. It's like, okay, we get it.
Black taco.
Lactose intolerant. Santa Claus, yeah. In our archives.
Almost seemed like a South Park trailer or something from the movie Basketball.
Hmm. That's got to be a future episode, too. I love that movie.
Agreed.
So, with that being said, I'm still very much looking forward to the movie. That didn't ruin it for me, but that definitely was not our best trailer. I don't think it's our worst either. D2 in our archives.
Yeah, that was a poor trailer. You have a movie like this, and you hold it to a certain standard, and when you see the trailer doesn't... The trailer needs to pass on the message and the heart of the movie, and I just feel like this just doesn't do it justice.
Okay. That's all right. The full movie will. That I'm positive of. Let's get into the box office numbers. These are going to be exciting. So E.T. debuted at the box office on June 11th, 1982. Remember that date, because you're going to get one of when it ended here in a little bit. The film was distributed by Universal with a runtime of 117 minutes and a production budget of about $10.5 million. E.T. opened number one at the box office in week one, bringing in $11.8 million, already recouping their entire budget. In week two, they would stay at the number one spot, bringing in $12.6 million. Over the weekend, bringing their 10-day total to $34.4 million in the first 10 days. J.D., thoughts on that?
That's great. I hadn't realized that the production budget was, what you said, $10
million? Yeah, $10.5.
I mean, I'm assuming that comparable to today's standards is through the roof, but it sounds just like a drop of rain in a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they only had to pay him $10 million to make this movie is the bargain of the century. Because wait till you get to these numbers. Do you think the schoolyard effect was in play? Say yes.
Oh, obviously. The schoolyard effect is still in play.
Okay. So E.T. would spend 17 weeks at the top spot in the box office, 39 weeks inside the top 10, and in total spent 52 weeks in theaters, starting June 11th of 1982, finishing up their last weekend June 5th of 1983. What do you think about that? That's got to be a first for this show.
That's impressive. Is that the longest theatrical run?
It might be. I guess I should do some research on that, but as of right now, I don't know. Well, actually, I'll look it up and I'll tell you on the full review.
Ooh, keep me in suspense.
Yeah. Domestically, the film brought in $435,110,554 with another $357,800,000 internationally, bringing our worldwide total to $792,910,554. JD, thoughts on our box office numbers?
Yowza, that is one spicy enchilada.
It's a lot of moolah.
That scratch can take care of any itch.
It's a lot of money. I'd like to know what it is with inflation, to be honest. But where do you think that ranks all time, if you had to guess?
It has to be in the top 10.
I don't think it's in top 10 because of inflation. But if you go, yeah, I mean, it's not even, it's barely in the top 100.
Really? I 78.
You know, it's, 78.
It's so not fair because every year now is a new champion of the top of the box office.
Yeah, well, it's still Avatar overall worldwide, 2.78 billion. Titanic's number two, Star Wars The Force Awakens is third. Yeah, I mean, I think if you adjust this to inflation, though, this movie and probably Jaws would be pretty high up there with inflation, I would imagine. But that's a different episode. Why don't we talk about the top 10 movies of the week for June 11th, 1982? Number one, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Number two, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Number three, Rocky III. I love it. Number four, Poltergeist. Number five, Grease 2. Number six, Hanky Panky. Number seven, Porky's, one of my favorites. Number eight, The Sword and the Sorcerer. Number nine, Conan the Barbarian. And number 10, Visiting Hours. JD, I think I mentioned it last week on the episode. If I could get into the DeLorean and go see a weekend of movies, this might be on the top of my list.
Who's your favorite Rocky villain and why is it Clubber Lang?
It is Clubber Lang because I pity the fool. You want to see a real man? Why'd I sound like Josh Lindstrom there?
I don't know, but that sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, no, it's definitely Clubber Lang. He's the best.
I agree. He knocks the crap out of Rocky.
He killed Mickey. Son of a bitch.
Ugh. No, Rocky III is a great movie. I love Rocky III because Rocky I is an excellent movie. Obviously, they do the typical sequel song and dance for Rocky II. They bring the fight back between him and Apollo Creed. And then we get Rocky III, where we introduce a new villain, Clubber Lang.
Yeah, we're going to have a long episode when we do Rocky. That needs to happen probably pretty soon. Break that movie down, because that's top 10 for me. That's in there. Yeah, and I would just say like the entire Rocky franchise minus number 5.
You don't like Tommy Gunn?
I love Tommy Morrison, actually. I'm a big fan of his as a boxer. I actually follow his son. His son's an up-and-coming heavyweight fighter right now. He's undefeated. Little known fact. Looks just like him, too. Yeah, the fifth one movie, it's just not good. It's not good. Stallone even says it's not good.
Well, the finale, what, is a street fight?
It is.
What's the point of that? What is this isn't Streets of Rage on Sega Genesis.
You want to go outside and... Yo, Paulie. I'm looking forward to Creed 2. Have you watched the trailer for that?
I saw the teaser for it, and I loved Creed. I thought they did an excellent job of revitalizing the franchise, and I'm super stoked to see Creed 2.
I love the fact that they have Drago.
Oh, that's so cool.
And they barely show him in the trailer, which makes it even better. Now I'm like, oh, yes. Can't wait. Excited about that. JD, let's talk about the critic and audience response for E.T. As usual, we'll gauge Rotten Tomatoes to see how the critics responded and the audience. And how do you think the critics received E.T. the Extraterrestrial?
The critic response to E.T. I feel like the critics came in and they sat down on Steven Spielberg's lap and they let him whisper sweet nothings into their ear.
Okay.
I mean that with love because, my memory of E.T. is that I love this movie. I've got nothing bad to say about it. I know that it won so many awards. I believe the screenplay was best original story.
You'll find out in the next episode because I have not done that research.
my point being that, you know, this is a story. This is a screenplay that goes down into the rigors of success to say, if you want to do something great, you take a concept like Aliens, which isn't new, but give it a fresh spin by making it lovable and making it enjoyable and pitting essentially X-Files versus Stranger Things into this wholesome Reese's Pieces infused popcorn picture. you know, I'm a little not jaded. Like, I know that the audience, I'm sorry. I know that the critic score is high, and I know it's in like the top 10 of Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know the exact number. So I'm going to say what I feel it is 88%.
Hmm. Okay, good. How about the audience?
If the critics are 88, and just the way that I feel about it, I feel like the audience are a little bit more loving and a little bit more like you are nostalgic over it. So I'm going to say 92 for the audience.
Okay. This will surprise you a little bit. The critic response was 98% certified fresh. Pretty close to 100. And the audience response, only 72.
Really?
Yeah, that's a little surprising, right?
That definitely surprises me. I'm not surprised to hear the 98% for critics. I think that's being very generous. But 72% from audience, like even I, who've only seen it one time in my life, I would say I remember it being at least an 80, and I would think people definitely would come out to bat for much higher than.
Yeah, I was surprised a lot by that. I thought it would be pretty high, though, on the critic side. I think you were dead on with your assumption, just minus one or two people liked it a little more than you thought. So pretty much dead on. Let's hear from a couple of the critics. I've got one from Anthony Lane of the New Yorker, who said, "We have yet to recover from his revelation that there is nothing more real than sitting in your own backyard, waiting for the unreal to come down, take a handful of candy, and fly you to the moon. Fly you to the moon." Yeah, okay. JD, what do you think of Anthony Lane?
No, I think that's, I like that because it really puts into perspective the idea that you can have the supernatural crash into your backyard, which is why I loved and appreciated Super 8 so much.
Okay. Yeah, I like Super 8 a lot. Okay, let's hear from our old buddy, Raj, who gave the film 4 out of 4 stars and said, "Spielberg left it open for all of us. That's the sign of a great filmmaker. He only explains what he has to explain." What do you think about that?
See, I like that a lot, and I think that's a really great, simple way of complimenting a filmmaker by saying that they only have to explain what they want to or what they need to. Yeah. And which is why I love last week's episode, The Burbs, so much, because we only know so much about the Klopex and the family and why they're killing and how they're killing. And just there's so much mystery that Joe Dante doesn't reveal. That makes it even scarier. And I think Steven Spielberg does the same, and I'm very happy that Raji E definitely calls attention to that.
Okay. Well, let's go to Amazon Prime and hear from the customers. So out of 1,440 customer reviews, E.T. carries a 4.7 out of 5 rating. And I got one from... So I've got a review from an Amazon customer who is unnamed, who said, "Great picture. Picture tweaks, not to my liking." Interesting. So it says, "For me, E.T. is a beloved movie from my childhood and one of only a handful of movies that makes me cry every single time. I'll never forget going to see E.T. in the summer of 1982. I would have only been about 6 at the time. My mom told me nothing more than it was about a spaceman. I was horrified when E.T. was lying on the... I was horrified when E.T. was lying in the gulch, white as a sheet. I bawled when E.T. died, and it was one of the greatest thrills of my movie-going life when they flew with the moon in the background. What an amazing movie." JD, what do you think of that review from what can only be described as a elderly lady in her mid to late 40s?
I feel like that hits a lot on what you said earlier about the last 20 minutes being cinematic gold. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So... what are you looking forward to most when we get into E.T.?
I'm looking forward to seeing it with fresh eyes, to sit down as an adult. You know, I feel like I'm going to order a pizza with some RC Cola. Shout out to Dave. such a great episode that we had a couple of weeks ago. So much pizza and RC Cola talk. Yeah. I want to experience this movie as if it's 1982 or we were in... you know, if you were at your home and renting it on VHS and popping it in and ordering a Domino's pizza or whatever they had in the 80s. That's what I'm looking forward to. I want the 1980s experience. I want to experience this movie as if I were, as the reviewer said, just a child whose mother said, we're going to see a Spaceman come to theaters.
Okay. Very good. So make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and YouTube. While you're there, drop us a quick 5-star review, write a couple sentences, tell us what you like about the show, and make sure you tweet at us at Back in Time Pod. Let us know what you want to hear next. But it is that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you later this week. See ya.
E.T. Bone Home.